Some of you get the Friday email from the church or go to the church website and see the video. There's a little sermon video preview. Maybe you haven't yet. Maybe this is the one you're going to look at, though, because this week's sermon preview video I shot not while I was hungry, but while I was being air-deprived a little bit. I was climbing up the dune at Warren Dunes State Park. Mount Baldy, I think, is what it's called there. I have learned that at my age and with my lung capacity, you take 40 steps and then you sit down for 2 minutes. And then you take 40 steps and you sit down for 2 minutes. And another four, it takes like an hour, but so every time I would stop, or as I was walking, sometimes I was shooting little segments of video so you can watch. And if you like Warren Dunes, you can catch little glimpses of the lake and everything like that in the video for this week. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." He did not say in this verse that I will keep you from being winded while you're climbing up a big hill. Air is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. There's symbolism and there's reality when it comes to breath and air and wind. Even God's name, Yahweh, if you spell it out, Yo-Heh-Vah-Heh, it's like breathing. It's Yo-Vah. So God's name is like breathing. So breathing is very important. It's just not part of Jesus saying, "I am the bread of life." Bread is, well, it's a symbol of life, and it's something necessary for life. It's nourishment to someone who's hungry. Jesus talked about bread and nourishment to people who sometimes didn't know where their next meal was going to come from. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And while we here in the pews, none of us probably have had to worry about hunger in our life, maybe. But here are some world hunger facts. 1 in every 9 people worldwide, that's close to 800 million, slightly less, don't have enough food to eat. 1 in 9. And poor nutrition causes almost half of deaths in children under the age of 5. 3.1 million children die every year from malnutrition. Another reality is the world produces enough food so that everyone could have enough. Everyone could have 2,700 calories a day. We do not distribute the food that we have enough of sufficiently. We have a distribution problem with food, maybe more things than that, but definitely with food. That's worldwide. In the U.S., there is hunger, too. A lot of it. 41 million people live in food-secure households. That's 28 million adults, 13 million children. The good news, that number has gone down significantly over the last 25 years. It's dropped by 216 million people, even as the Earth's population has gotten larger. But still, 800 million people not having enough food. It's not okay. But here, it isn't hunger that we talk about. It's dieting. Has anyone been on a diet this year? Either medically prescribed or I just need to lose the weight. Maybe you have used some of the either fad diets or not fad diets that people treat like fads. Maybe use it for a little while. There's the DASH diet. What is DASH D? Anyone know? DASH D-A-S. It's something that's capitalized. There's the whole food diet. It's a good one. Keto. Keto is very popular lately. It's kind of like Atkins, kind of like paleo. A lot of protein involved there. Ketogenic is what the diet is called. Weight Watchers, been around for a long time. The Mediterranean diet, kind of like paleo. There's Jenny Craig is still around, right? Jenny Craig is still around. Slim Fast is still around, although I don't know why. It's just like drink beverages and then eat properly, something like that. I don't want to belittle any of the diets because maybe you've been on it. Or how about the religious-based diets? How about the Hallelujah diet? That one still exists. A vegan diet, which is less a diet, more of a lifestyle that people have, vegan or vegetarian. There's a flexitarian diet. It's kind of all of us, right? There is a diet called the Bible diet. I don't even know what's in it. It's like you only eat grains and stuff that's in the Bible. Bread for life diet. Yeah, I mean, this is it's bread for life. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. There is a diet called the bread for life diet. And my favorite, there's a tapeworm diet. Oh. Really, a friend of mine did one of these treatments because he had some stuff going on, and maybe he had a tapeworm, and he had... maybe I shouldn't talk anymore about that one. It's gross. Anyway, here in the United States, most of the time, we're talking about the diets that we go on rather than the hunger that a lot of people face. And Jesus still says, whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Maybe the people who Jesus was talking to didn't get it either. It's possible. He did remind them of how the people of Israel ate manna in the wilderness, dependent on it for nourishment. And they just had experienced the feeding of the 5,000, and all it started was with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Maybe they weren't thinking about being hungry at that moment because they had stuffed themselves. But I guess even we who live without hunger problems, we get hunger pangs, right? You feel hungry, you wake up in the morning, or it's a midnight snack or whatever it is, you're hungry. It can't compare to true malnutrition hunger. But we do need something to fill us up. The people followed Jesus because they heard that he performed miracles. And Jesus was a bit miffed by the fact that they came, not because they understood that what he did was, you know, God's love, God's presence, but rather so they could be satisfied by whatever Jesus did to fill them up. Do we treat Jesus that way? Hey, Jesus, I'll pray to you and ask for the things that I need to fill me up. Never mind everything else. I really don't care. Just give me enough money to pay my bills. Just give me enough food to eat. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. To a person who hasn't had a meal in a long time and doesn't know where the next one will come from, those words have power. And we can't really experience the power of those words because none of us here can understand hunger like that. I don't think. Maybe someone can. But in general, here in the western suburbs of Chicago, we don't understand hunger like that. But I wonder if we can get a little taste of the kind of joy someone might experience in learning that their days of extreme starvation are over. And it has to do not with bread, not even with hunger, but with the breath. The breath that I was sorely lacking as I was climbing up the dune at Warren Dunes. So if you're willing, you don't have to, and I don't want anyone to do anything that they don't want to, but we're just going to take a minute here and try to experience this. When I say, breathe out fully. And then pause. Don't breathe in. Pause for a few more seconds if it feels safe. Try to pause without breathing for like 10 or 20 seconds. And when you know it's necessary, breathe in. That's the instructions. Here we go. Breathe out. I couldn't do it for 20 seconds. That feeling of, oh, finally, air. It's a little bit like extreme hunger. It's like the relief when you're breathing in, the relief that someone starving would have when they discovered that they would never be hungry again. I am the bread of life. We can't truly understand hunger, but we can be advocates and we can help change it. In October, we do the crop walk, the crop hunger walk. It is to stop hunger in our community and worldwide, to end it, because we do have the ability to end it in our time. But maybe that's not your issue, right? Not that hunger is not important, because it's very important, but we all have things that we focus on. We all have things that are important to us and world-changing things that we want to do. So why don't we take the understanding that we have of that breath and finally getting that breath and addressing hunger that way and understanding the joy that comes with having a need met that wasn't met. Maybe apply it to your deepest wants and needs. Maybe it's having a home. Maybe it's healing from disease. Maybe it's simply having enough money to pay the bills. Or maybe it's family unity. Or maybe it's a relationship that is estranged being restored. Maybe it's security in retirement. Maybe it's simply safety. Maybe it's to be loved. Maybe it's to be in love. I don't know what your deepest wants and needs are. And I don't want to just say, just simply, God will fill those needs. God's presence in our lives, the community of Christ that gathers here, all of it weaves together to say that it's going to be all right, that there is support, that there is nurture, that there is kindness. So what's our job in all of this? One is to seek out what that is, right? Our deepest wants and our deepest needs. But as a community here, St. Paul's, the vision's laid out for us, right? Our job in all of this is to be a caring community of Christ. Because when we're a caring community of Christ, we are helping to meet the needs of those around us and ourselves. We're called to be a people of prayer and action, because when we're praying, we are with intention putting prayer energy into the universe of good. And then when we've got action that backs that up, then we're doing what we're praying for. We're using our hands. We're using our minds. We're writing. We're marching. We're building. We're digging. We're cleaning. All of that. Prayer and action. What else is our job in all of this? As St. Paul's, we are to be a beacon of hope, justice, and peace. And that's a tall order, I know. We all need a beacon of hope, justice, and peace, and we need to be that beacon of hope, justice, and peace. And some days you can only do one. Some days you can do both. Some days you can do none. But as a community, that's what we're called to be. So, Jesus is the bread of life. Whoever believes in him will never be hungry. Whoever follows him will never be thirsty. May we continue to hunger for and to be nourished by the true bread. Amen.